We would like to say a special thank you to Ron and Martha Rossing for sponsoring this week's episode.
That's the really capping off of, they were commissioned, sent by the Holy Spirit to deliver faith through a sermon. And so that's what that...
Which is the mission statement now for all Christian congregations and Christians, actually, to deliver that same word of promise that through believing, we all may have life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Life freed from sin, death, and the devil.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Scripture First, the podcast that explores how the Lutheran lectionary is working in your life. I'm your host, Mason Van Essen. The political power, religious authorities, and the general public all demanded Jesus' death. The disciples were terrified they were next. Suddenly, Jesus breaks the law of nature and shows up in the locked room and starts a sermon. Peace be with you. Here is the consequence of your sin. Dr. Chris Krogan and Sarah Stetson explain how Jesus shows them the marks on his hands and sides and clearly places the bullseye on all of them and all of us. Your sin is what killed him. Yet the message is loud and clear. Jesus doesn't leave them with sin having the final word over them. He leaves them with his word of mercy and forgiveness. Here is the Holy Spirit. Now go and tell others. Now, here's John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. And now on to this week's conversation. Welcome back to Scripture First. Thanks for being here after the high of Easter. We're back once again.
Happy Easter season.
We're in the first week of April here. We have Dr. Chris Krogan, as you just heard, and Sarah Stinson back on the podcast two weeks in a row.
We have Mason Van Essen, the hostess with the host with the most.
And Carrie Haugen.
Mason always does the intros. He deserves one for himself this time.
Shout out.
But now we know why Mason always does the intros.
He's so embarrassed right now. He's bright red.
All right. Okay. It was evening on that day.
So,
what day? What's that day?
Hold on. So We just left off last week. It was Easter, but we left off with three women scared, telling no one. And now we're in John.
Yeah, so that was Mark, and now we're in John. But it's the same time frame. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, remember we talked briefly about the first day of the week was in the Mark text?
Yes.
So it's the same day. It's that same day Mary Magdalene and the other women discovered the empty tomb, told to go to tell disciples, she's seen the resurrected Lord, etc. So it's that same day, but now kind of scene change. We're not at the empty tomb. Now we're at the upper room. And so the verse 19 goes on, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews.
Why do they call it the upper room? I mean, it just says the doors of the house.
The upstairs.
Does it say the upstairs?
No, I don't think so.
That's just a common thing we call it. It's the upper room.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but they're locked in that room, literally are locked in the room because they had just watched Jesus die on the cross 3 days earlier. So they know they could be next, and in
even
fact,
though
very well could be next.
They sinned against Christ to keep...
They were associates. They were associates of Jesus, and they were known associates of Jesus, and that's why they're afraid, for fear of the Jews, because they had watched Jesus be crucified. And so it's be kind of like if you're in a gang or a group of some sort, guilt by association. And they were his disciples. They were doing all sorts of things with him, and a lot of people knew it. So
this is why Peter denied him three times.
Absolutely.
He was afraid.
Protect
guilt by
your
association.
Own life. And so now they're huddled in this locked room.
Mm-hmm. If they do it to him, they'll do it to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not just the political structure here. It's the religious structure, like we've discussed in previous episodes about you had Pilate, and now you've got the Jewish leaders were the ones that all called for the crucifixion of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so they have the power to crucify his followers as well. So there's a lot baked into the short little fear of the Jews.
Absolutely.
Yep. And the Jews being, what is the law going to do to us now? You know.
Because they watched what it did to Jesus.
Yep. And so these people, they're willing to go to all ends to end our movement.
And in that same verse, we get they were where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, comma, Jesus came and stood among them.
Yeah.
So right there, the door is still locked. And now he's in the room with them. And he's not a ghost. He is standing among them. So obviously now still defying all laws of nature and gravity. He's
in
the
locker
room.
It's impossible to actually rationalize it is because you can't do that.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
You can't do, no human can do that.
Well, the laws of nature are being broken.
Again.
Which is the law. Doesn't pertain to Jesus anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is, if the law pertained to Jesus, remember the
dead.
Consequence of sin is death. That means the law kills. No, the law.
End of story.
Just
like the women last week expected the law to have to do what it always does, kill, dead, stay dead. Well, the disciples thought the same thing, and now Jesus is standing in the middle.
Christ is the end of the law.
Well, he comes in, he does this terrifying act to these terrified people, and what does he say?
Yeah, he shows up and he knows they're afraid, and this is again
they're afraid.
Jesus does. He says, "Peace be with you." He starts a sermon. Peace be with you.
Yep. And then he shows them his hands and his side. These are the marks of the crucifixion. See where I was nailed and pierced in the side. Nailed to the cross and pierced in the side. And then the disciples rejoiced. So then they recognize, they see it really is Jesus, literally in the flesh, standing in that locked room with them.
And that's a great thing because the marks of his flesh are their sin in his flesh. This is what we're going to get to later in Thomas.
Right.
Okay. Well, and then
this is quite the sermon. I mean, peace be with you. Great way to start.
Obviously.
Puts them at peace immediately because that's Christ speaking what it does. Then he shows them, here's your sin.
Exactly.
After he says peace, not before.
Right.
After.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
You're implicated. You sinned against me, but they rejoiced.
Yeah. Yep.
And the word rejoice there is really a cool one to pick up on. It's kairo in the Greek, and it means literally to delight in God's grace or to experience God's grace, which is exactly what's happening to them. They are delighting in and experiencing God's grace. And that grace is exactly what you're saying, Mason. Jesus didn't come back to get a pound of flesh, like eye for an eye, Hammurabi's code. He came to say peace. He'll deliver forgiveness. But he frames everything in this first interaction with him with peace be with you. And then Jesus said it again, verse 21, peace be with you. And then he goes on and we'll talk about what he says. But he says, peace be with you two times. As they are literally rejoicing and experiencing God's grace, his mercy, his not being fair, which is truly what they're experiencing in the moment when they hear the words peace.
I like the way you phrase that because it puts it into a different, I don't know, it puts it into a different context than I think most people are used to hearing it.
The rejoicing and the...
The rejoicing, yeah, and the peace be with you.
Right. Yep.
Because it's outside the law, and it's very easy, especially here, it's very easy to relate with the disciples or to just look at it from an outsider perspective and just kind of like read right through it and not think much into it.
And I think it's in the English, then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. That you might say, that might fly in the face of what we always say, that you need to hear the gospel, not see the gospel, but... Here the disciples are, they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So what does that mean? Well, when you dig into the Greek, rejoice means delight in God's grace, experiencing God's grace. And
yeah.
Where do you experience God's grace? Well, when the mercy is preached into your ear.
Yeah. But when you see that your sin didn't get the final word.
Yeah.
That's literally the God's grace.
Yeah.
Yep. So their sin finally... Killing him actually wasn't the final word. So he's standing there now. I mean, mm-hmm. just think, I mean, these are what movies are made of, right? Is, oh, I thought you were dead. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, you came out of the mine or whatever, or, you know, the car crash and you're watching the movie and you think the car blew up and then all of a sudden the person's walking out, right?
Yes.
And everybody's like, oh, phew, death didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're experiencing.
Every good action movie.
Kind of.
Only death. They watched death,
yeah,
actually win, yes, in this case for 3 days. He, yeah, was in that tomb.
Yep. It wasn't a miracle that he didn't die.
No.
It was a miracle that he was raised.
Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So then he goes on to say, after the second time he says, peace with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So, you want to...
Yeah, well, so this is, as the Father sent me, so I send you. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Well, this is kind of the short form of the Great Commission. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send out to you, because mm-hmm. the Father has sent me to show you sin didn't get the final word. Now I'm going to send you to tell everybody else sin isn't your identity. So... receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now is, this same text is often read on Pentecost Sunday. This receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to plant the promise of forgiveness in people's consciences. And so this is what's going on. Receive the Holy Spirit. Those who sins you forgive are forgiven. Those who sins you say aren't forgiven are not forgiven. So now they are literally able to take the power of Christ, which is take sin and remove it from people's identity, which is what Jesus just did to them.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's passing it on. There's
your
power.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit,
yep,
too. I mean, this is a critical verse. This is why it's Pentecost Sunday. It's a critical verse for what the Holy Spirit does and does not do. And clearly the Holy Spirit does function to forgive and bind sin.
This is so linear that it's...
How so?
As the Father has sent me, so I send you.
Yep.
Okay. So when he sends you, what is he doing? Well, he gives them the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sending you with the Holy Spirit to do what? To forgive the sins of any.
Yep.
And retain the sins of any.
Right.
Okay. That makes
Yep.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Pretty clear. But, go ahead, Kiri.
The but. Verse 24, yeah. But.
Kiri, what were you going to say?
That's actually where you read my mind. That's where I was leading. Because I feel, so verse 24 is when it starts talking about Thomas. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people relate to Thomas.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have that doubt or say the Bible isn't real, Jesus isn't real. And then you hear Thomas in verse 25, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Mm-hmm. So there he's literally, he doesn't have that faith. He's saying, I need the proof.
Yeah, he's saying that. I actually, when I've preached on this in the past, I like to make the sermon title, Take After Thomas. Because a lot of people want to dodge being Thomas. No, I say take after Thomas. Why? Because Thomas is saying, Jesus, you show up and make this happen. But I'm not going to just go based on you guys' word. I need Jesus now to do this to me.
But isn't that a sin in and of itself, though? Because you're questioning God's authority.
He's questioning their authority to tell them. They don't believe them. You know, but I say now, make me believe this, Jesus. Mm-hmm. What am I doing when I say that?
So this
you're is making God be God.
I'm actually saying
calling him out,
calling him out
on the promise,
and I'm believing it.
Right.
Come on, Jesus, bring it.
Right, and this is exactly how Luther understood this text too. So first of all, it's frequently doubting Thomas that's not the Greek word there is didymus, which means twin. So it's not doubting Thomas, but. Luther has a great sermon on this as well. Not that yours wasn't great, I'm sure, Chris, but I read Luther's. I haven't heard yours. Anyway.
He's blushing.
No, he's not. So Luther actually said that Thomas is an example of how easily we all lose faith and get turned in on ourselves. And what happens when Christ removes his hand from us. So in other words, when we're left to our own devices or our own will, we also are faithless idolaters. We have no faith, just like Thomas. So Thomas saying, I will not believe unless ... is true. He cannot believe without Christ, which is really what he's saying there. I mean, that's what Chris is getting at and kind of flipping around to say, yeah, be like Thomas. The difference is we now have the baptismal promise. That's what we call God on. You promised, now deliver. Give me your forgiveness. I need the promise put back in my ear. We'll get to that toward the end of the text, but that's what's different for us and Thomas. But in both cases, you call out to God, deliver, give me the promise.
Yeah, because the reason you need to put it back in your ear, and this is what Thomas is saying, I can't imagine that my sin...
Yeah.
Doesn't get is conquered.
And that's what Luther was getting at.
Yeah,
the depth of his sin is what we're hearing there. His unbelief.
I can't imagine that my betrayal, that everything I've done, the shattering of people's lives that I've done, that somehow that doesn't get the final word over me.
Because don't forget, he's in that upper room with them. He wasn't the first time Jesus showed up, but he's huddling in that upper room. He's literally afraid for his life. Two, suffering the consequence of his own sin.
And so what does Jesus do? He shows up again when the doors are shut.
And he says a completely different thing.
He says, peace be with you.
He says, peace be with you.
Yeah.
Then he says, now touch, not just see, touch the consequences of your sin.
Yep.
And this is, put your finger right here. See what your sin did to me.
Reach out your hand and put it in my side.
Right.
Do not doubt, but believe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, but that is like, see, I'll even give you my flesh to touch to see that your sin isn't the final word over me. And that's really what it is. It's not that Thomas needs to see in order to believe. No.
Although it seems like he does.
But he is so caught in the depth of his sin that Jesus is saying, see, that is to say physically your sin didn't get the final word over me. And that's powerful, but it's going to be even more powerful as Jesus flips it here at the end.
Right. And so Thomas responds to Jesus saying, do not doubt, but believe. And guess what? We get a confession of faith. My Lord and my God. So yeah, it's a huge confession of faith now as a result of what Jesus did. So it was instantaneous. He wasn't looking, you know, I don't know. Is that really like, no, my Lord and my God. And then we get this flip that Chris is talking about in verse 29, when Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
Yeah.
Which is huge, because those of us that are sitting in the pew now, hearing this story, hearing the preachers, hearing it coming out of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent, and we trust it now, have an even greater blessing than to be able to touch him.
Right. In the Greek, literally, I think it's, you know, it reads kind of as a rhetorical question, but in the Greek, literally, it's because you have seen me, you have believed. Because you have seen me, you have believed. So it's an assertion. It's a statement. Mm-hmm. And then he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Because, of course, we know faith comes through hearing now. So that's what Jesus is getting at.
This might be just way too literal, because you can read between the lines that by Jesus inviting this, that he did this. But he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus said to him, what you just said, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in there does it say that he actually touched him.
Right.
Right.
All it says is that, is that Jesus spoke to Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so Thomas...
No, we don't have
received faith because Jesus told him,
do not doubt,
but believe.
Exactly.
So it's not even that he received faith because he put his fingers there.
No.
I mean,
do not doubt, but believe. And guess what? When God speaks, it happens.
Yep.
And Thomas meets his my Lord and my God.
Mm-hmm. And then, so this whole reading concludes, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, which I think is... I know you guys don't have anything to talk about on that, but I think that's kind of cool that they said that.
Yeah, it is.
Because you'd think that everything that happened is recorded, and it's a good reminder. Nope, it's not. But then it finishes, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty nice way to end it.
That's the really capping off of they were commissioned— sent by the Holy Spirit to deliver faith through a sermon. And so that's what that...
Which is the mission statement now for all Christian congregations and Christians, actually, to deliver that same word of promise that through believing, we all may have life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Life freed from sin, death, and the devil.
And on that note, we've reached the end of this week's episode, my friends. Thank you to Dr. Chris Krogan and Sarah Stinson for teaching us that it made sense that the disciples were terrified. They just watched all of the political and religious powers, as well as the chance of the crowd to kill Jesus. Weren't they next? But nothing can keep Jesus from delivering his peace. He shows up in the locked room and delivers a sermon. Peace be with you. Here is the consequence of your sin. By seeing and touching the marks on Jesus, we see that it was our sin that killed him. This is the fifth time we've discussed this text on this podcast, but we continue to find ways to deliver the news during the entire Easter season, not just on Easter Sunday. Jesus doesn't leave us with sin having the final word over us. He gives us his word of mercy and forgiveness. Do you like what you learn in the conversations on Scripture First? Luther House of Study has numerous interactive courses available for free on subjects ranging from the Lutheran Catechism to core Christian beliefs. Visit lutherhouseofstudy.org to see their available courses, create an account to track your progress, and dive deeper into your learning. Thanks again for joining us this week. Remember that no law can keep Jesus from delivering his word to you. We'll see you next time on Scripture First.